like to call the House Special Committee on Energy to order. It's 10:20 on Thursday, April 6th. Members present are Representative Clayton, Representative Johnson, Vice Chair Sponholz, Representative Johnston, Representative Westlake, Representative Rauscher, and myself, Chair Wall. Today we have on the calendar HJR 18, support for renewable energy testing from Representative Tuck. This will be our only item of business. And with that, we'll invite Representative Tuck and his staff to the table to present the bill. The resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Representative Chris Tuck from District 22, South Central Anchorage. I first want to thank yourself, co-chair and vice chair, and the committee members for allowing us to hear the resolution today. I would also like to introduce my intern, Jacob Tatum, who I'm going to allow to present the bill to you.
Thank you, members of the committee, for allowing us to present this resolution, which I think will be great for Alaska. For the record, my name is Jacob Tatum, intern for Representative Chris Tuck. The resolution we have before you, HJR 18, if passed by both bodies, signifies a unified voice from Alaska's legislature to our congressional delegation that we support the development of affordable, renewable energy in the state of Alaska. Specifically, it calls upon our delegation to recognize Alaska as the most suitable region in... Specifically, it calls upon our delegation to recognize Alaska as the most suitable region for the testing and development of renewable energy in the nation, and to direct resources to the state for such purposes, which would provide Alaskan communities with sustainable energy, new revenue streams for our economy, and could potentially establish Alaska as a national and global leader in the renewable energy industry. As members of the Energy Committee, I'm sure you're all well aware of the many novel and systemic challenges Alaskans face in order to meet their demand for energy. Traditional energy sources are often unaffordable due to factors such as transportation costs, extreme climate, and small economies of scale, amongst others. That being said, our state's geology offers tremendous potential for various forms of renewable energy, including hydropower, wind, biomass, solar, tidal, just to name a few. The high cost that we currently pay is an incentive to further develop our renewable energy capabilities. By sending this message to our delegation in Washington, D.C., we will favorably position ourselves to finally take full advantage of the untapped renewable energy potential Alaska has and will secure a prosperous future for our state. That concludes my brief testimony. I will be available for questions. We also have some experts on the line that can also answer your questions. And with that, I'll hand it back over to Representative Tuck.
All right, thank you very much, Jacob. So it is a pretty simple resolution, but basically the calling our state's congressional delegation recognizes the state as the most suitable region for the testing and development of renewable energy. Combined with all the opportunities that we have here, as well as the high cost of energy. So in other areas of the nation, it may not be feasible to do some of these, economically feasible to do some of these technologies. We're up here, not only can we get it up and operating, but we'll be able to modify and adjust and still be able to have it somewhat affordable. So if it can be done right in Alaska, it can be pretty much done right anywhere else in the world. So thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Looks like we have some questions from the committee. Representative Johnson?
No. I think this is an interesting resolution, and I'm all for the general intent. Are you aware of what we have around the state already going on in this field? And would you be interested in creating something separate from that? Or are you looking for a whole new entity to be doing this?
Okay, thank you very much for the question to the chair, Representative Johnston. What we're looking to do is find outside money to where
Department of Energy will start investing in projects here in the state of Alaska. We have been doing a very good job on our own in investing. And so this is asking for Congress, whether through legislation or directly dealing with the Department of Energy, to try to get projects sponsored at the federal level here in Alaska. And that's just basically trying to allow Alaska to meet the federal goals of renewable energy.
Follow-up?
Johnson?
And you're aware, and I cannot give you the breakdown right now, but I'm aware of millions that are going into the state already for testing from DOD. What I'm trying to suggest, while I think this is an excellent idea, maybe it's one that maybe needs a little sculpting, so that, because in Representative Little's district, we have an unbelievable lab that's currently doing a lot of this, and if we could sort of make it site-specific, you know, I wouldn't personally feel comfortable if this was Alaska Energy Authority. I would feel more comfortable if it was incorporated into maybe this lab in Fairbanks, so that it's part of the research in the university. So I'm just suggesting that, and not just Department of Energy funds, but I think you, as I say, we've got a lot of Department of Defense funds already being spent by many in different elements throughout the state. So I just suggest maybe that you could look at sculpting this in a broader sense.
And if I may, through the chair, Representative Johnson, we did keep it in a broader sense. We did not go into the specifics. We did not go into, you know, whether it's a university, whether it's through the Department of, through Alaska Energy Association, or on the federal level, going through Department of Defense or Department of Energy. We kept it pretty broad. We just wanted to make sure that Americans, but our Congress, and understands that Alaska has what it needs to test a lot of these opportunities. And so, no, we didn't go into the specifics. So, and I'm not sure where in this resolution that you find it restricting.
Well, you're right, I did a very poor way of, I should drink more coffee or less, one or the other. But my point is, I think we have some, you know, fantastic opportunities in what you're trying to address here, but we also have some fantastic resources already in place. So I guess I am looking for a little bit more sculpture, and we could maybe strengthen this resolution with what we have going on in the university and what we have going on in the state, and I would be glad to help you work with that.
Sure, thank you, and through the chair, Representative Johnson. Yes, yeah, we could zero in on, I guess we can add of all the other things that we have going on in the state of Alaska. A resolution is pretty much a note to, a note of agreement to our congressional delegation, and pretty much just looking at the opportunities. But in this, sure, we can probably state all the other things that we're doing, but we just wanted to keep it as broad and open as possible. More of an education tool, but if we want to use that as an opportunity to talk about what Alaska Energy is doing, sure, we can do that. We want to talk about, you know, Department of Defense or the university or that kind of stuff, I suppose we can do that.
Representative Westlack.
Yes, and through the chair, I'm not sure about the protocol, but I'd like to address it because Representative Johnston just had a great with BM. it's where it is now, for professionally speaking, in my other life. Is DOE, while it sounds good, they don't do very much in Alaska. The budget for DOE tribal energy is only $60 million for almost 500 tribes in America. I mean, when I was down in Phoenix, I ran the numbers there. We would have needed, for the projects that everyone wanted to see across the board, $670 million. Wasn't going to happen for tribes. So I think it is, Representative Tuck, is the intent to try and attract outside money in here, because that seems to be the bottleneck that we've got. I've got two hydro projects over there in my region that we'd love to fund. I've got another two wind farms. bonds that we'd like to see. Is this what you're, this is targeting? And thank you, Chair.
And thank you for the question, too, the Chair, Representative Westlake. Yeah, that's basically what we're hoping to do, is bring outside money. We're limited on the resources that we have up here in the state of Alaska, and I think we've really done a great job of making those investments. You know, we passed the first energy policy for the state of Alaska back in 2010, and now it's to go 50% renewable by 2025. Spending all the resources that we have, we're not quite there yet, and so this resolution is hoping that we can draw attention to Alaska for other manufacturers, other organizations, whether it be even, I can't remember the energy facility that the federal government's invested in on Eastern Washington, but then bring that attention to us up here so they can see that, hey, you know, we're developing these technologies, we're looking into these technologies, we're studying these technologies. Now it's time to test and develop those technologies, and the best place to do that is here in Alaska. So that's what we're hoping to do, is just draw attention to the uniqueness and to the special needs that we have, and try to get those new dollars up here. And because elsewhere in the United States, they have cheap power. We have the highest cost of power than anywhere else in the nation. So if we were going to actually implement some of these new technologies, Alaska can make it economically feasible, and then those technologies, because they're paying off somewhere, can be refined and improved and better tuned to be applied elsewhere. So it's kind of a, you know, planting seeds. If you're going to plant seeds, let's plant them here in Alaska.
Thank you.
And I just want to also point out, I'm not sure where the Department of Defense has been doing stuff here in Alaska for renewable energy, but they have been looking at gas to liquids for the JP-8 fuels. I know that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of going outside of renewable energy because it is using higher technologies, though. I'm not sure where they're going on that area, but if the Department of Defense ever decides to do that, we want to have an open door for them.
I think what some of the things Representative Johnson was referring to was that we had Gwen Holdman from ASAP, Alaska Center for Energy and Power, here last week, and she was talking about a lot of the stuff they're doing and sort of how they're testing the new technologies, and companies are bringing their technology that they've already developed, they're bringing up here for them to test on the microgrids and certain kind of environments. So they're getting contracts to actually do the stuff you're talking about. So, and I think we want to stay focused on the successful programs that we have and not splinter off and start something else that is not, is going to tap resources from the success that we have. And we do have two people from Alaska Energy Authority online, Sean Scalin, Katie Lister. We have Chris Rose from Renewable Alaska Project. So maybe this is a good time to hear from some of them. So I'll ask Sean, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, you want to put yourself on the record, and I assume you have something to say about this resolution today?
Certainly, this is Sean Scalin with Alaska Energy Authority, also the room with me as Katie Lister. We submitted a letter of support for this that it should be part of the record of today's meeting. It's an appropriate step to make sure there's an open door to the federal departments for continued investment in renewables in Alaska. The letter outlines just a few facts about renewable energy in Alaska, and mainly one of the biggest pieces is that the legislature's commitment to renewable energy has been fantastic over the years. The Renewable Energy Fund has invested about $250 million into renewable energy projects that are making a real difference all around the state. And that has been, the fund itself has been completely funded at the state with no federal funding yet. However, several of the projects did have federal funding at some of their match or some of their project costs. But that is an open place that the that federal funding could flow into a system that has worked really well for navigating projects and moving projects forward. And the renewable energy market, that has just started the renewable energy market in Alaska. There's a lot of activity in Alaska in renewables now that really has derived from that investment. Just a couple other points that the letter addressed is the Emerging Energy Technology Fund is another investment that the state has made with Federal Match, and that is to test not commercial, but potentially viable renewable energy, energy technologies that can be renewable, that can be traditional fuels, it can be efficiency transmission. It's a very broad niche. But that's simply a way to invest in new technologies or future technologies and testing as this draft. So I guess perhaps one question I have is, the focus here seems to be on testing ESG. I think the value to a lot of the state that pays high energy costs is in implementing renewables, so maybe just looking at that distinction. And the final point I'll make is just that there are federal tax incentives for renewable energy development in the nation, and they're very difficult to use in Alaska because our market doesn't fit their design very well. So this is, that could be another argument that could be made for why support Alaska renewables in a special way. And with that, both of us will be available for questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sean, and thank you, Katie, as well. Representative Rauscher had a question that I...
Thank you, through the chair. It was actually toward the resolution itself. So I guess what I'm looking at is if we pass this out and it goes to the House and it goes to the Senate, what, it's a resolution that it just gets sent on by itself or with other collaboration of work or partners or businesses or with organizations or the rest of the investment firms that are already working? Is it going to be a collective involved in sending that along with this?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Rauscher. Yeah, pretty much the whole resolution packet will be going to be sent, and then on the last page there, copies of this resolution will be sent to our Honorable Lisa Murkowski, our Honorable Dan Sullivan, U.S. Senators, and Honorable Don Young, and U.S. Representatives, and the Alaska, members of the Alaska delegation in Congress. So basically, it'll be going to their offices.
Would you be inclined, through the chair, some friendly language amendments later?
Sure.
But would that be all right? I do see stuff like must reduce dependence on stuff, and I'm thinking, you know, that's where the income from Alaska comes from in some respects, and so I'm thinking maybe we should probably wordsmith some of this just a little bit in those regards. I don't know if you understand where I'm going with that.
No, but if you just point it out to me real quick.
Mostly in the first sentence, the United States must reduce its long-term dependence. That word of must in there, I'm just wondering, you know, they're going to start to think about where we're headed as a state as far as the income that we rely on. But there's other things like the hydro project, and I know if we vote on taking money away from hydro projects here in the state, we're sending out mixed messages. So I just wanted to say that. I mean, if we're going to hail them in one, we need to support them in others. And I know that there are a lot of different areas around the country which you geothermal, wind, depending on where you are, maybe Kansas geothermal in Hawaii, solar in California, hydro in Arizona, wherever. But if we can we defend the statements that we have in here substantially, you see what I'm saying? And if we can't, we need to somehow.
Sure, and this is a committee hearing, so I'm ready to vet those items.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And that's what I was talking about, working on maybe some wordsmithing in there.
You want to bring them up now during the hearing?
No, I was just wondering if you were for that later on some other time. I don't have them with me, but I had a lot of highlights that I just thought I'd ask you about.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the purpose of committee, to vet ideas and there you go. I had a question for Sean Scaling, something he mentioned, and we also have Chris Rose, who I'm going to ask for his testimony here. But Sean, you still there, I assume?
Yes, sir.
Thanks. You mentioned the Renewable Energy Technology Fund. Am I stating that correctly?
The Emerging Energy
Fund. Okay. And how is that funded? Is it that you said it's a matching fund? Is that a state federal matching fund?
Yes, it has had state and federal match. Some of the exact proportions may be
Thank you, Katie. And so this fund currently has money in it, and how is it used? How is it dispensed?
This is Katie Lister with Alaska Energy Authority again. So there is an Emerging Energy Technology Advisory Committee that provides the advice to the Alaska Energy Authority, who administers the fund. The fund is in step for competitive solicitation and gets abstract, and then a smaller group of folks are invited to submit full applications. Energy Authority goes through an evaluation and scoring process and then make recommendations to the advisory committee, who also evaluate the applications and weigh in and then make the final decision. So then there are two projects that are set. One of them is a combined heat and power project in the serving folks at the level six that is the grant heat. And then the other one is a project that actually connects solar, hydrokinetic, and wind and diesel resources in the community of Engagid, and that is for the youngest, and that is the grantee there is of our PC.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. We're having a little trouble hearing you, maybe because you're on speakerphone. I caught most of what you said, and other people are having difficulty as well. But so it sounds like this Emerging Energy Technology Fund, part of it was used for the combined heat and power plant at the university, which is a coal-fired cogeneration plant that's currently under construction now in Fairbanks. Did you have something to add, Sean?
Sorry. The combined heat and power project that is part of the Emerging Energy Technology Fund is actually testing a unit, the living subsector is going to be testing it. I believe that has a big difference. And it will provide electricity and heat for that building. A unit that is widely used in Europe. That has not ever been tested in Alaska.
Oh, yeah, we heard about that one last week at the biomass cogen that they're using at the Big Dipper. I thought you said something about the university, but I might not have heard you well. Yeah, the speakerphone or the phone connection is somehow a little compromised right now. So we have a question from Representative Westlake.
Yes, and through the chair, Katie, this Dean Westlake, I work with the Emerging Technologies out of Denali Commission. Now, my question is about the budget. I remember when it used to be planned, it was everything else. What's your budget now, and what are your projections for your budget on this?
I don't have those numbers in front of me right now. I would be happy to follow up with you and get those back. I will say, in terms of looking to the future, in the recent past, it has been easier to attract federal funding for emerging energy investments for those types of projects than it has been for more kind of bread and butter energy projects, just because the folks have been more interested in funding those types of projects. So we have been successful in attracting money for those types of projects. We don't know under the new administration if that will continue. We are hopeful that we will be able to apply for and receive additional federal funding to do another round of the Emerging Energy Technology Fund. But at this point, we're kind of in a wait-and-see mode in terms of the transition in D.C.
So, and so, this is Dean again, Katie. So, following up over here, I was fortunate enough to be the recipient of one of the, well, our region was fortunate enough to be a recipient in one of these emerging technologies. It went very, very far. Now, if you've seen Representative Tuck's bill here, would that help you more in securing funds to do things like this that have had a tremendous payback for us in rural Alaska?
Yes, I think that
Which is, does the renewable energy fund get, it's totally state funded, was there ever a matching federal component, DOE or otherwise?
No, it has always been 100% state funded.
Okay, thank you. And we also have Chris Rose on the line, and maybe he can have some testimony on this resolution as well. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Can you identify yourself and give us your testimony on this resolution, please?
Sure, my name is Chris Rose. I'm the Executive Director of the Renewable Energy Law Office Project. Chairman Wolf, members of the committee, thanks for the opportunity to testify. The Renewable Energy Law Office Project supports this resolution and supports the intent. We are a coalition of over 80 organizations in Alaska State, including utilities, independent power producers, developers, Alaskan Aid corporations, installers, NGOs that help support renewable energy development in the state of Alaska. A week ago today, I had the privilege of testifying in the Congress, U.S. Energy and Resources Committee on this topic. Senator McCaskey invited me to testify there. And my testimony was essentially what this resolution is saying, which is that Alaska has a first mover advantage in some of these technologies. Not all of them, but certainly in the remote microgrid, 200 remote communities we've got in the state, there's really nothing else like it in the United States. I mean, there is something like that around the world. There's an estimated 700 million people on the planet that rely on diesel. There's another 1.5 billion people on the planet that don't have electricity at all. So if there's a market that's close to one-third of the planet, that we are squarely in when we talk about renewable energy in remote communities. And the Renewable Energy Fund, as has been discussed, approach May has really catalyzed this. We've got more than 60 projects built through the Renewable Energy Fund. And what I thought the state was the 100% funding, and it did leverage a lot of other private and federal money. It's just that there was no required match. It didn't match. There was no matching money there. So that's what was put us on the map in Alaska in terms of being a little leader in remote technology and emerging technologies. And I would separate three buckets. First of all, for conventional renewable technology, that is taking off around the world, and we're not world leaders in that. Necessarily, that's happening at a huge pace. And last year, for the first time, more than half of all new electric generation on the planet was renewable. And that does not have what kind of. So this is moving forward fast. The rest of the world is doing it. One of the messages that I had for Congress last week was that Alaska can't be a world leader unless the U.S. continues to try to be a world leader and support renewable energy on a national basis, because if we don't do that, China and Europe will still back you. And that is happening. Mm-hmm. So, a world basis, large land, commercial solar, these things are happening very quickly, and there's nothing that's going to stop the economic momentum of that. Geothermal has been commercial for 100 years, hydro has been commercial for only more than 100 years, and now solar is commercial, wind has been commercial for a while. Going into the next bucket of emerging technologies, when we talk about wind power, we have a huge first mover advantage of those kinds of technologies in Alaska because we have high energy prices, and it's one of the best places to test those kinds of technologies, which are still expensive because they're emerging. That was 50 years ago. And you can go to your heater today, the title of our main power, and it probably still beat the price of diesel by an hour. So that's true that we do have people that companies coming from around the country, even around the world, to come test the technology. And that's what my woman was testifying last week about. Folks that questions that have a Connect Test Center who are bringing that technology to us, because then that was they can bring a part of the project in on those emerging technologies that almost immediately tackle benefits of the local community. Then there's a third bucket, and that's the number of microgrids. And that's really, you know, squarely our huge advantage, because those are places where you can use technology that is already commercial, like solar, like wind, improved battery energy storage technology, and put them together in an architecture that makes sense for a very small community, a remote community. And again, this is a very unique market that we will make in remote developing world communities and environments. But it's still a huge market. It may be unique, but it's huge. And so that is really one of the things that we were talking about last week in Washington, D.C., is that well, that is continuing to happen. We have support from the states to the New Energy Fund and the Emerging Energy Technology Fund to some extent. But we also absolutely still rely on federal support. Right now, Texas, we and other cities around the state are getting support from the Office of Naval Research. We're getting support from the renewable National Laboratory. We're working very closely with other national laboratories and the Department of Energy. And the federal government does not continue to do that, trying to support, continue to support DOE, USDA programs are very large in their impact here in the state of Alaska. There's a high energy cost grant, a lot of small communities that they're able to get. If that federal support is not continuing, that federal cooperation with the state entities does not continue, we're getting left out of our own, and it's going to be very hard to continue our first mover advantage in these technologies. Because I do agree, moving forward, renewable energy and energy efficiency, but renewable energy can be a component of a future economy, because we are able, we would be able to export our expertise around the world, because there, like I said, it's a huge market out there for that. And I apologize for not being able to provide any feedback towards the Tuck's office or anyone else. Sooner than this, it's been a very busy meeting, but I would respectfully suggest that you might want to insert the word emerging technology in some places in this resolution just to distinguish it, and also the microgrids in other places to distinguish that. Because I think that we are here is that we do really have a public leadership position that we want to continue. So I think this resolution has a great message to Congress. The same message we're trying to send, which is that we need to have support just for these kinds of idea and that person in Alaska, but also just general from the United States, for Alaska to survive, to succeed and to prosper in these technologies moving forward. So I appreciate the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for going to D.C. and testifying there as well, and shedding light on some of these issues and separating renewable, emerging, and microgrids as sort of subcategories or categories, and you know, showing what we do better, and some things we do better, and some things we're actually the world leaders in, as microgrids, as was presented last week by Ms. Holdman. And Representative Johnson has a question.
Yes, thank you. I did a very poor question at the beginning of this discussion. But I was pinpointing the fact that we already have a lot of Department of Defense funding coming into the state. And if I remember, did we get about $600,000 from the Department of Navy?
About
$350,000. Okay, and I think it'd be interesting what you've done with those funds, or you know, the intent of those funds. But also, my thought is if you have a senator that's on the Energy Committee, you can focus this resolution to her expertise, and then you also could focus the resolution to our other senator who is with the Department of Defense. As far as our strategic location there, but it would be interesting what you're doing with your Department of Defense funds.
Through the chair, Representative Jennifer, in collaboration with Office of Energy and Power, we have for some time recognized that in order for these kinds of projects to really be truly successful and perform as well as they can, we have to have to maintain them well over time. And of course, we also have an opportunity to optimize them over time as new control systems and energy storage technologies become available over the life of our project. So,
hey, Chris, are you still there? Chris?
Yeah.
What I'm noticing is, for some reason, if you talk fast, it's a little garbled, but if you talk slow, it seems to come in clear, something about the data transmission. So if you can keep it slow and steady, I think it's easier to understand you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Through the chair.
Well, about 45, 50 miles an hour instead of 65.
Well, hold on, Tom, and we have to operate and maintain projects, obviously. We have to do that well. And we also have an opportunity to optimize these projects over time. And so we have been looking for some money for some time to hire a whole lot of possession and read, which the Office of Medical Research has now allowed us to do for the next 3 years, to essentially investigate the workforce development and vocational training ecosystem in Alaska, if you will, in the area of clean energy. Because we know that there are some good projects or good training programs out there. But we also know they don't necessarily interact or collaborate or talk with each other. We also know that there's some excellent K-12 energy education programs out there. But they don't interact with the low tech world, so the low tech world's not necessarily giving the students that they need. And finally, you know, there's some excellent university program on each program on necessarily how to get with the other few subjects that are K-12 at the low tech. So the Alaska Network for Energy Education and Employment, or ANEE, is the new entity that we are forming. And we have not been able to hire a full-time staff person with that amount of money to first investigate, do a gap analysis, what that's there, then to get convening all the stakeholders. And start looking at how to fill those gaps with better training and better collaboration between the energy sectors. So that's what we're doing with the Office of Naval Research Money. And you are correct, Representative Jonathan, that the Department of Defense has a huge interest in the microgrids. And one of them is a pretty obvious one, if you think about it, which is that in these forward operating bases around the world, the very dangerous areas, if the military has to be relying on diesel, then they have to get the diesel in. And fuel convoys that bring that diesel in are typically one of the easy places for our adversaries to plant IEDs in the road where those full convoys are coming through. And so if you can displace diesel in these full operating bases, you decrease the amount of diesel you have to get in, and you decrease casualties. And this was a time that's seen that for some time, and you know, we've worked with such a DOD for a while. They folks that don't have a connection, because they clearly want to see that they do folks, and they see Alaska as the place where these remote places, remote communities are successfully integrating these renewables as a great opportunity for them to collaborate with us so they can do the same thing in the forward operating basis.
Thank you, Chris. I know we had testimony from, like I said, from Glenn Holden. We also had a gentleman from Lockheed Martin who, although he was here presenting on airships, he mentioned that Lockheed Martin is working on a lot of energy projects that would be relevant to Alaska, including small nuclear and things like that. And I think Glenn Holden mentioned nuclear as well. And Representative Westlake is familiar with some of their projects. So that might be something DOD would also be interested in. Or I'm sure they are interested in, but might be an area of Alaskan research for small communities. And are there any other questions from the committee? Representative Tucker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to just clarify with Representative Rauscher on the first whereas. You mentioned something about not wanting to be dependent. I mean, sorry. You were concerned about reducing dependency on non-renewable energy sources. Is that my understanding?
The first sentence, yeah. I had a workaround for it.
Okay. But I just want to say that we do...
I think you'll object to the workaround, but anyway, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understand. My reason why we put this clause in here is just for the purpose of national security. Mm-hmm. United States, as of end of July, beginning of August of 2015, became the largest exporter of refined fuels in the world. And I think that it's important for us, just for purpose of national security, to have our own reserves on renewable, non-renewable energy. And so if ever time needs that we can spin that up, we can. But this resolution is focusing on renewable energy, something that can be reproduced, something that doesn't go away.
I left the word renewable in my work. Around.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. All right, cool. Thank you. Just want to make sure I understood the intent.
Thank you. Okay. I'll come to your office with it, and we can work on it if you'd like.
Through the chair.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from committee or presenters? Anyone online have anything more to say? I'll take that as a no. We will come back to this resolution and next week, and we also have, I think, another piece of resolution we'll be looking at from Representative Tallarico, I believe. So, I think with that, we'll adjourn. It's 11 a.m., and we'll come back to this resolution. Thank you, committee.